Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday the 18th of March, recording at 9:17 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now first, a quick look at the highlights on what is a really interesting day. Asian stock markets were mostly firm. The European stock markets seesawed a bit before mostly closing slightly easier. The Spanish MIB index was an exception, up 2.78%. Now, Wall Street started a bit soft and nothing big, and then was narrowing those declines, and the Fed announcement came out offering stating that they were going to make $300 billion of U.S. government security purchases. So, in other words, the quantitative easing that had been hinted at on so many occasions became a reality here today, and it caught the market by surprise because I think people had felt that, and I'd mentioned on a number of times that that we were just getting jawboning in an attempt to firm the market, but this was the real deal. And it caused a huge rally in the U.S. Treasury bonds. The long bond is up over 5 points. And the knock-on effects were interesting. And Wall Street closed firm, not spectacular, but just over 2% on the S&P 500 index. Among the more dramatic changes, in addition to the Treasury bond futures that I just mentioned, we saw a huge turnaround in precious metals because gold had been quite weak earlier on, and this really is a swing of over $70 in gold, which is lost trading at 9:41, 9:42 in after hours. And similarly, silver, which had fallen down to $11.89 for the May contract, surged back up to $13 and is trading a little bit below that level right now. So a fascinating day here. And an even bigger story, the dollar was clobbered. The euro is currently trading at 135. So that's a massive gain. It had been firm all of last week and this week, and was above the 131 level before the announcement came out. And we saw, say, similar strength in other currencies. The Australian dollar, for instance, is up to 67.92. So a very dramatic weakening of the U.S. dollar. The dollar index, for instance, is down 2.338. That brings it down to, it had a close at 84.595. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, you remember how fashionable it was to say that central banks had no influence, and particularly the Fed, that they'd lost control, that they were pushing on a piece of string, etc. Well, you tend to get that sort of despair and despondency and bordering on contempt, I think, in most crises. And it takes time for efforts to kick in. It takes time for authorities to come up with a coordinated, sensible plan. And some would argue that they never come up with a sensible plan. But it all takes time. It certainly takes lots of time for some of these measures to kick in. But the Fuller Money view all along has been that they would go on and on and on and on, and those who felt that they did not have additional measures to hand were imagination challenged, really, because There are far more arsenals than just cutting interest rates down to far more weapons in their arsenal than just cutting interest rates down to zero. Now, we could argue for a very, very long time about whether this is going to make matters worse in the long run or not. But for some time, it's been evident that the Fed and every other central bank is really, if I use the analogy of the patient lying bleeding and near death on the table, to add a little hyperbole, that their immediate concern is to stop the hemorrhaging, revive the patient, and then sort out the lifestyle. So that's the type of situation that we have here, and it is cushioning downside risk in stock markets overall, and it is helping to restore a wee bit of confidence in this environment. And I think these are trends that will continue. In other words, we will see stock markets, for the most part, engaged in ranging base formation development, and we will see some of the worst fears banished. Fears of a depression more likely to be replaced by an acceptance that this is a very severe recession in the OECD countries, and something less in a number of other countries. Now, there's still the fear of deflationary pressures, and the central banks are very concerned about the deflationary risk. Thus, all the money printing and the latest quantitative easing. And this will almost inevitably stoke up some future inflationary pressures. I don't think we see much of that this year, except where our currency has really been battered. But we will see it at some point. And there's the other issue, those who say, well, this isn't going to happen if the Fed, either the pessimists will say that the global economy will slide deeper into deflation and they won't be able to prevent that happening. I think that's unduly pessimistic. I've felt that way all along, since they are going to throw everything in the book and then some at deflationary pressures. And I wouldn't want to bet against that having some effect. Now, the real challenge several years down the road, as we've mentioned before, is will the central banks step in and withdraw some of the liquidity and raise interest rates early on during the next economic recovery? And that might well be a contentious move because unemployment figures will still be high, although corporate profits will be improving and GDP growth will have improved, but not so much the job creation. And the inflation will be a lagging indicator, and so there'll be a temptation to carry on with the accommodative policies. Well, we'll see. That's my view at this stage. But more importantly, getting back to the markets here right now, the S&P is back testing that 800 level, and it moved easily back above the November low. But this is the more interesting resistance that we see here between 800 and 800 and 80. Currently, it would require a clear downward dynamic to reaffirm more than temporary resistance from these trading patterns. If the S&P is able to get back above 880, and I'm just describing that as a if at this stage. So far, so good in terms of this rally. But if it is able to do that, that would certainly revive the overall base building hypothesis. And we do see base building activity in so many other markets around the world. It was really only in the West, or mainly in the West, that we saw the downward breaks beneath the November lows. And most of Asia held up above those levels, and where they were broken in Asia, It was only by a small margin, and they have rallied quite well. The overall recovery process is being led by China, and that's a positive leash effect for the Asian region generally. The resources markets are, for the most part, doing well. Particularly the resources emerging markets, they're doing very well. Brazil, I was going to say, is leading the pack among the big ones. I think that would be accurate. Some of the smaller markets in South America have done even better than Brazil. And tech sectors are doing well. The NASDAQ, for instance, has been way outperforming the Dow and the S&P since the October-November lows. And we have Sweden's OMX, which is by far the strongest of the European stock market indices. And we have Taiwan, which is challenging China for the leadership role. So, not exactly the end of the world here in terms of stock markets, but we do not yet have confirmation that the bear market is over. You don't get that until well into the next recovery, as I've mentioned before. And I think if we want textbook confirmation, well, that would be after stock market indices break above their 200-day moving averages, which have also turned upwards. I think it will happen. But in the meantime, I also think that we will, or I maintain that we will have a lengthy convalescence, and I expect that process to go on. Now, looking elsewhere, in terms of the long-dated government bonds, the fear of the quantitative easing has certainly stayed my hand in terms of shorting any of those positions, and I'm mighty glad that it did, because of when you see an explosive rally such as the Treasury bonds saw today. But there are plenty of other very interesting markets out there, and needless to say, I don't like the long-term outlook for these long-dated government bonds. But in terms of currencies, I've maintained for a number of weeks now that the dollar rally was looking long in the tooth, tired. Talk of it being a safe haven was really an in the eye of the beholder rationalization. And we have certainly seen it had lost upward momentum recently, thus my establishing some longs against the U.S. dollar over the last few weeks. I didn't maximize my potential, unfortunately. I was too conservative in my stops. But the more important point is that the Antipodean currencies and the euro, in terms of interesting tradable currencies, have been showing that they were bottoming out against the U.S. dollar for some time. And ditto the yen, and the yen got a big shove from the Japanese as well. And the alignment that I like, as I say, is subject to timing, is the New Zealand and Australian dollars and also the euro as longs against the U.S. dollar and the Japanese yen. Now, the dollar weakened so dramatically here today. It'll be interesting to see if that follows through tomorrow and creates a real momentum move. That's not possible, because just think how many people had crowded into those dollar positions. But this move here today will certainly have put the cat among the pigeons, to coin a phrase, and I think that those dollar longs will be under a lot of pressure to get out of those positions. Now, I think that's changing the game as far as the psychology for buying precious metals is concerned, quite recently, it was all about fear, and mainly fear about corporate profits and bank nationalizations and just and bankruptcies in the in the stock market, and that caused people to buy gold, sometimes referred to melodramatically as the Armageddon scenario, and inflation concerns dollar concerns were just not a factor in that. I think that changed today, but before it changed today, we saw gold and silver weakening as stock markets rallied, and that's natural. If people had been buying the gold and silver when stock markets were breaking down beneath their November lows, they were going to take some of those profits when stock markets staged their first decent rally. No surprise there. But in terms of factors that influence people in the gold and silver markets, as I say, I think that it's in the process of moving away from fear. It doesn't do it overnight, but it is in the process of doing so. And that the new concern, well, it'll be fear of the dollar, in my view, and in terms of paper currencies generally. And so a very exciting day here. The commodities did not really respond to what happened with gold and silver, although copper did strengthen. Most of the other industrial metals were somewhat weaker, and agricultural commodities looks like they're a bit mixed, and the energy contracts were a little bit lower. So very exciting day all told, and no doubt bring some smiles to the gold and silver bulls. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.